So what's going on across the Atlantic in Virginia? Over recent days, you've probably seen bits and pieces of what's been unfolding in Charlottesville and a white supremacist rally there. There have been violent clashes. Sadly, a woman died. Horrific pictures that you would have seen of the car being driven at a group of people protesting against the far-right activists. The White House has since been forced to defend Donald Trump's reaction to the violence after the president failed to outright condemn far-right groups. Now, Jenny Carlston is an American expat living in Belfast and has worked closely with Amnesty International to organise anti-Trump rallies, and she's on the line. Jenny, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Jenny, thank you for joining us on the programme. People are emphasizing or highlighting that the president wasn't as clear as Mike Pence was in his condemnation. Is it fair? Because surely he condemned all violence.
Right. But, you know, I think what's missing is, first of all, the naming of the victim, Heather, who you know, there's been no really no comment acknowledging the victim and her sacrifice that she's made for her country. I think that's been missing, notably. I think the other thing is this isn't a question of two sides. This is Nazi extremism. This is absolute, contrary to every principle of the American Constitution, American way of life. And the fact that he's choosing to portray, to frame it as violence equally coming from two sides is appalling. You know, you need to look at the background of the young man who committed the crime, who committed this murder. And like all extremists, there's a pattern, a history there. People have been coming forward and saying, you know, he studied Hitler. He was there openly holding, identifying himself with the Vanguard movement, which is a neo-Nazi movement. This is religious extremism. This is fundamental white supremacy, and he needs to call it out. He needs to call it as such and not try and equivocate, you know, the two sides. Peaceful counter-protester killed, murdered by a neo-Nazi.
But you're not suggesting, are you? You're suggesting in any way that the American president is sympathetic to white supremacists?
I'm absolutely suggesting that. I mean, if you look at the statement by David Duke, who the former head of the KKK, he's made a public address, a public statement to Donald Trump, saying to him, never forget who elected you. It was not what he called in a statement radical leftists. He said, don't forget who elected you. It was the white Americans who elected you. When you're getting an endorsement like that, you need to look at who you've gotten into bed with, who you've affiliated yourself with.
People can send those messages to the president and say, remember who elected you. It doesn't mean that the president is sympathetic to people who would be involved in the KKK.
Well, except he's openly met with David Duke. He's endorsed. He's worked with people in these parties. He works with Steve Bannon. He's not, you know, this is not a man who's distanced himself in any way from the so-called alt-right. This is somebody who has actually embraced within his own staff, within his own administration, he has encouraged and aided extreme right-wing views, and it's really past time for him to condemn that roundly. And you know, the other Republicans in his own party have condemned it and have called on him and condemned him. This isn't a Democrats versus Republicans issue. This is people, you know, Mike Huckabee saying this, you know, this needs to be condemned. You have really quite conservative Republicans condemning him at the moment.
Yeah, just stay with me, Jenny, because Sarah Mulligan is an activist. She's also an ardent Trump supporter, and she's on the other line. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
thank you for joining us as well. Sarah, that's pretty stark condemnation of your president, someone who's practically not necessarily in bed with the KKK, but has an understanding of their mindset.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I'm a big fan of Fox News. And first of all, I know for a fact that Trump is saddened by what's going on now at the moment in America. And as we all know, he is a maverick and he doesn't play by the rules and he speaks his mind. And that lady must remember as well that he was voted in by over 63 million people. And at the end of the day, he's condemning both sides. He's not happy with all the hatred that's going on. And I mean, if we look at our own country, you know, who are we to judge? We discriminate. We're racist. We're hateful towards travellers. And yeah, so at the end of the day, public safety is at risk. And I was just watching Jason Kenzolder. He was an organiser and he was very in fear of his life. He was pushed against barriers and railings and all he wanted to do was have a peaceful protest. So he...
But do you really believe the man you're making reference to wanted a peaceful protest? This is the man who was coming on to blame the police basically for the death of the woman who was killed by the car that crashed into the crowd. This is one of the organisers. This is someone who believes that white power is something that should be seriously considered in America. Are you really suggesting that the likes of a far right blogger and indeed the president are hand in hand here?
Sorry, are you asking me that question or the other lady?
No, I'm asking you, Sarah.
Well, first of all, as I say, I don't believe President Trump is happy with what's going on. In fact, he's disgusted by it all. Like, he really does want to bring everybody together. And he does condemn all the hate that's going on. No, I don't believe they're working hand in hand together. No way. You know, like, as I say, President Trump has his own mind and he won't be bullied by people that run their own blogs. But yeah, at the end of the day, many people were killed. 19 people were killed. And it's, you know, this all kind of happened around the statue. I mean, we haven't really spoken about the history of Mr.
Yes, yeah, so just when you say 19 people were killed, we're talking about this one incident where the woman was killed.
19 were injured.
Yes, 19 yeah, people were 19, injured, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, has the person been identified, the guy or the girl that drove the car?
Well, the police have in custody a person who will be facing charges for driving that car, and that can go through the rigors of the law. There is no doubt that there are people in that area who want white supremacy, who will attack people who would prefer to see mixed society, mixed race, and what we would see as standard society in the Western world. And surely people who would attack protesters in a violent way, who would use violence against people who are protesting, against fellow Americans, the president should be coming out and clearly condemning that. And it was his hesitancy in condemning those who had attacked the people who were protesting that shot him into the limelight on this. Mike Pence has been backpedaling for him.
Well, yeah, well, Mike Pence will always stand by the president at the end of the day. And, you know, of course, the president has condemned both sides. Like, he's not happy with what's going on over there. And it is a difficult situation for President Trump to be in because, you know, he has to kind of stay middle ground, doesn't he, really?
Sarah, is that a valid point, Sarah? Jenny, rather, is that a valid point, Jenny, from Sarah, that the president has to be diplomatic in relation to these issues?
We do not need to be diplomatic when it comes to fighting Nazism on our own soil. No, that's the time for diplomacy with Nazis passed in my father's generation, before my father's time. You know, this is not a matter of right to protest. Let's be clear. The woman who was killed, Heather, was killed there. She was not violent and engaged in any violent action. She was a peaceful protester. There is video of the protests before they reached the stage, before the car attack. There is video of the alt-right crowds showing them macing, punching, injuring peaceful counter-protesters. So that's one thing. The other thing is, not only were they allowed to protest, and are they allowed to protest, they're allowed to speak. There's plenty of platform for these views. This is not a matter of crushing free speech by any means. In attendance at that rally, there was the Charlottesville police, there were the state police, and there were open carry armed militiamen presiding over and supposedly guarding their people. And that's allowed to go on. That is allowed to happen in the United States. And these views are expressed, and there's no there's no equivalency between protest and murder. And that is what we're talking about here, the murder of a woman. And the fact that anyone would even seek, that a president would seek to make an equivalence between those two situations, those two groups of people, one of whom are defending American principles and American democracy and all of the kind of ideas of tolerance and respect for each other that we have in America, and another group which has been allowed to come out of the shadows where it has been for a long, long time. I went to high school in Virginia. We had a teacher who hung a KKK robe on a hook in his classroom. There's a long history of extreme racism in the South, and under Trump and in the rise of the alt-right, it has been given, you know, a spark to come out into the daylight, and it needs to be addressed. It needs to be condemned, and it cannot be allowed to be sort of just, oh, here's two groups of people that happen to disagree. This man didn't happen to disagree. He drove his car into a crowd of people and murdered someone.
Okay, do stay with me, Jenny. I'd certainly like to speak to you about the teacher. Sounds like a bizarre form of dress to have in any classroom anywhere. Caroline has a point to make. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Frank. Thank you for letting me on, because I'm going to a meeting. My concern about Trump is that he kept the birtherism alive for years, was saying that Barack Obama was not a U.S. citizen, and now he is, with the wall and everything else, he is basically, not only is it the black-white issue, but it's linguistic racism as well. Hispanics are being treated horrifically in the United States. Children are being deported. Families are being deported. So this is the narrative that Trump is pushing, and it's very, very frightening. And I can't see anything positive that can come out of it except for impeachment.
An incredible amount of the Hispanic population in America voted for him.
Well, yes, and that... Yes, but that's because the number of people in the United States who could vote, there's a very large Hispanic population in the United States who couldn't vote. So, and I would say he organized very, very well amongst part of that population, and that goes back to what Richard Nixon said, and that was the Hispanics who have immigrated to the United States have a lot of the values of the Republican Party. So he was able to capitalize on that, no doubt. But he still didn't get the majority.
Well, at this moment in time, he is the president of the United States, and he is dealing with all issues, including what would be seen as internal terrorism, an attack from one far-right group in America on another group of protesters in America, is described as a form of terrorism and accepted as terrorism by people within the presidential administration. Are people too keen to jump on Trump, to criticize him, simply because he failed to use a certain type of language in his condemnation of what happened over the weekend?
No, I think that I think that's part of it, but I think that if he hadn't planted the seeds with birtherism, I don't think that people would be nearly as upset. Now, I also find it very, very frightening when the Chinese government comes and says, "Watch your language," which he said about North Korea. We also have a very large Korean American population. So the language issue is not just an issue of this weekend. The language issue is more symptomatic of problems that we have with Trump and the way he is carrying himself. Now, if he were in my class, and he were behaving that way, I would send him to the principal.
That's an interesting way of assessing it. Caroline, thank you. Jenny, on the subject of being in the class, I can hardly believe that you said, and you sound like a relatively young woman, that you had experience of being in a school in Virginia where the teacher had a KKK cloak.
Yes, this was in Virginia. It was brought in, I believe, on the... You know, you study the Confederacy at school, and it was brought in allegedly as a, you know, prop.
So does that explain it? However, does that explain it? Because there's one thing having it as a historical prop, and another thing having it as hanging in the classroom as is something that you respect, like, a, for instance, a religious icon or whatever.
Right. No, it should have, you know, obviously in that particular case, it should have been, if it needed to be shown at all, then it needed to be contextualized and then taken away, not left on display where it might be intimidating to African Americans or indeed anyone else in the classroom, Catholics, homosexuals, whoever it might be. But, you know, what my point there is simply that this is not, I think for some people, it's difficult to imagine the depths of racism in certain parts of America. It's very difficult to understand the way in which this isn't a new problem. And in fact, the disenfranchisement of large groups of Hispanic people, of minorities, of poor people, has a lot to do with why Trump was able to become president of the United States. But it also, you know, this is about what we accept. We know that there are things that are wrong in our society. Sarah, who you had on the phone there, she talked about, well, how is it any different from over here? We discriminate against travelers too. Do you know what? We can't accept discrimination wherever we find it. It's not enough to go, oh, well, sure, there's hate everywhere, or there's intolerance everywhere, or there's actual oppression in other places. Well, he is the president of the United States. He's, you know, his thing is to make America great again. And it's not just the language that he used about this one incident. It is the pattern of things that he has been doing. You know, everything, destroying public lands, trying to dismantle our environmental protections. As the other one on the phone, the detention and deportation of people who have been contributing to American economy and society, including children, separating families, making that a policy to separate families. They've actually prioritized the deportation of illegal immigrants over the investigation of terrorism explicitly.
Okay, so you're obviously completely against Trump on all angles and on all scores, Jenny. Just to go back to the actual issue of the weekend, this sparked from the planned removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee in the area. Now, do you think that's a sensible move to take the statue away, considering the Civil War did happen, it did exist, the Confederates against the Union and whatever? Is taking away the statue the right way to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course it is. That's a public park. It's paid for with public money. The public is not made up of Sons of the Confederacy. The public is made up of a diverse, you know, group of people who live in the town, who use the park. You know, you don't, should black children have to play in a park under a statue of Robert E. Lee? I don't think that's appropriate. It's what the town decided. It was, you know, it was a democratically decided issue. You want to talk about, you know, mandate and people getting votes, and well, this was the decision. This wasn't a statue that's being torn down by private individuals. It was a decision to remove the statue in keeping with the wishes of the people of the town. And a minority group cannot then come along and use that as a pretext to commit violence against other people.
Robert E. Lee, a general who was part of the slave trade and who promoted slavery. Some people would argue that he actually took steps to help eradicate slavery, but there is plenty of evidence that it reinforces that he was part of promoting slavery in America, and this is why people would look back on him with disdain. He is honored in one of the most popular television programs. Just on this, Jenny, he's honored in one of the most popular television programs in the Dukes of Hazzard. The car's called after him. The Confederate flag is on the roof of the car. Should people be insulted by that?
Well, I think a lot of people were insulted. I was certainly not encouraged to watch the Dukes of Hazzard when I was growing up because of things like that. The closest professional football team to Virginia is the Washington Redskins. There's been decades of controversy over the use of that name. You know, there are many cultural issues that display the racism that has long been alive in America. Nobody is saying racism has developed in the last, you know, year and a half. What we're saying is that it needs to be condemned. It needs to be, the country has been moving towards the right direction for decades. And here we have somebody who wants to spiral it back, who wants to take us back to a place where it's okay to speak openly, racistly, to use Nazi language, to use Nazi symbolism openly. And the decision to remove the statue in the park was a decision made democratically, made by people who want to show a new, who want to move into the future. Robert E. Lee was not just pro-slavery. Robert E. Lee was anti-American.
I mean, that's the fact. This is also about people trying to, you know, destroy the United States of America. That was what the Civil War was about. Some people will say it was more about that than about slavery. So, you know, it's time. It's time for those things to be changed, especially when people have indicated that it's what they want. And, you know, if we're going to accept the mandate of people, or we're going to accept the decisions of our courts, our legislators, then let's start with taking down a statue. People no longer feel this represents their city, no longer feel it represents the population that lives there.
Okay. Jenny, thank you. So mass criticism there of the President of the United States. Sarah is still on the line. Sarah, I'll give you the last word on the issue, because Americans seem to be queuing up to criticise the President this morning. Surely you see where he made at least a mistake over the weekend by not being clear in his condemnation of the white supremacists.
I believe that he is staying in the middle ground, and he really wants to see his country become one. And he's condemning all hate. He says there's no place for any kind of violence in America. And I'm really, really honest with how good he's doing so far. He's doing really, really well. You know, he doesn't want to see religion or political parties, you know, completely and utterly taking over America. Like, he wants to put America first. He wants people to respect one another. He wants people to love one another. He wants people to cherish one another. And I have to say, I really enjoy reading his tweets, because he uses Twitter as a platform. And that's the only way the man can get his voice out, because the media are constantly painting him in a dark light. And it's unfair. And that's why I made my website, www.irishwholovepresidenttrump.com, because we need to believe in this man. He could be the president for the next 8 years. So why not be on his side? He's all for safety. He wants citizens not to fear living in their own country. He wants everybody to be safe. So in my opinion, the man has done no wrong. And he's staying pretty middle ground. It's a very volatile situation. And, you know, it's very upsetting to see what's going on in America. People being pepper sprayed and mace being used on their faces and everything else. But someday racism will come to an end, and maybe it will be President Trump that will end all this discrimination.
Sarah, thank you for coming on the programme. You mentioned your website. People may wish to visit it to see what exactly your angle is. Just remind us of it again.
It's www.irishwholovepresidenttrump.com.
Okay, thank you. Irishwholovepresidenttrump.com. Certainly got both sides of the argument there this morning. Your opinions are very welcome. 90-333-105. 90-333-105. Do the media give Donald Trump a hard time, or does he just simply hand out gifts like it's Christmas the whole year round to the media with the things he says, or indeed, in this case, the things he feels to say? 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Like to hear from you on the programme this morning. You can let us know what you think. As for the Dukes of Hazzard, should we be turning it off, turning it over, objecting to it? Let us know. And the taking down of controversial statues, might that be a step in the right direction in this part of the world?
The Frank Mitchell Phone-In on U105. Listening to you.